Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host. I am Mother and Daughter Roundtable, so let me go back. I'm not starting this morning, though. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's just start all over again. I am your host, Dr. Bessie, here at the Roundtable. Good morning. My God, thank you. You're sitting here with mothers and daughters. We are sitting here with mothers and daughters around the world and said, get yourself together, Dr. Bessie. You know. But anyway, God is so good. It's a good day. It's another opportunity to come before mothers and daughters around the world. It's just absolutely a marvelous, marvelous time. This day is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice in it. And I'm not saying it as a cliche. I mean it. I mean it from the bottom of my heart, because if you give thanks for just 2 seconds ago, it's your past. And he allowed you to live another second, another 2 seconds, another second, another second, one after the other. We could just stay in Thanksgiving 24 hours a day. Because every second is a blessing. Every second is an extension or an expression of the love of Christ for the price that he paid so that we wouldn't have to suffer, that we wouldn't have to go without. And, you know, it's so amazing. We know that somehow or another there's a disconnect where our faith and those words come in together. Because when your faith meets God's word, miracles happen. But somehow or another, there is some little something that tries to sneak in between that connection. It's just like you can have the best. I like coffee. I get up in the morning. I need electricity in order to get the coffee pot up and running. But just think, if you don't have the plug and you have the pot, but yet you have the outlet where the power is, nothing is going to happen. That pot will sit there all through eternity until it erodes and dry up. Somebody throw it away because what? They don't have a plug. They don't have the right plug. You know, you go to the store and you try to find another plug. It's the right plug. Same thing with your computer. I've had a computer and didn't have my plug. I can't just go get someone else's plug and put it into my computer. I needed the plug to my computer. Otherwise, it's sitting there, and I can't use it because I can't connect to the power which generates, which gives what it promised, light, power, electricity. So think about that. You don't have the connector. You don't have anything going on. So today, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll talk a little bit about why we are where we are and not where we know that we could be had we followed the promise, because God cannot lie. And Jesus definitely can't lie, because Jesus said, I only say what my Father says. And if he's saying what the Father said, the Father say it, now come on. And he's repeating it, and then Jesus can't lie. So we need to just realize that there's a disconnection between us and the Word. Because if it's not working, it's not God. It's definitely not God. And I know you don't want to think it's you, but I'd rather say it's me than to say it's God. That's just me, you know. I'd rather go with that. So let me go to the switchboard here and see if I can connect with my co-host. And I see Deborah, you're on too. I'll come to you in a few minutes. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. How are you this morning?
I am fine. I'm fine. Getting it together.
Well, you and me both, darling. It's just causing for us to get it together no matter what, you know? Good morning. How are you, world, and mothers around the world? I'm like you, Dr. Fletcher. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Why not? So tough, but why not? Come on, why not? Why not rejoice? I mean, that's the good news. You are alive. You're alive. You're living. You're moving around. You got an opportunity to serve the Almighty God this day. You know, I got up this morning. I said, you know what, Father? Jesus didn't faint, and I'm not going to faint. If Jesus didn't faint with all that he went through, I'm not going to faint. I'm going to keep going, because fainting is not a part of it. He said, do not faint. If you keep going, I can help you. But if you stop, I can't help you. So I was talking to Dr. Jean last night, and one of the things we were talking about, fainting, you know, people don't realize fainting ain't just passing out and falling on the floor because you got weak and weary. No, fainting is taking a different direction. Fainting is making a decision against the Word of God. Fainting is just doing what you want to do. Fainting is just getting outside of what you know is right. Once you do that, you off course, and he can't help you. So, you know, we got to learn not to faint. So that's my take on today, not to faint. You got anything else you want to say on that?
No, all I can say is I like it. I'll share some stuff later as we go through the show that I was up this morning until about 3 o'clock this morning. Our Heavenly Father was showing me some stuff with what's going on with us and what's going on with the school. But not at this moment.
Well, you can
save
that
for
our private conversation. You can save that for our private conversation. We don't want that on the air.
That's,
if he showed you, then you can share that with me privately. Let's stick to
the topic. Exactly.
Yeah,
depending
yeah.
on our topic and our conversation,
yeah.
it may or may not
yeah.
come in.
But nothing
here or there. I like what you had to say so far, and I just want to say I, too, have chosen to be glad in this day. That's it.
Yeah, Deborah's on here with us. Deborah, are you there?
Good morning, praise the Lord.
Hello, hello.
Good morning,
how you doing?
Deborah.
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Everything to have rush and praise, and he woke me up this morning. I said, Lord, I say I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm just so grateful to be alive. I really
Amen.
Was reflecting this morning about where he brought me from.
Uh-huh.
I tell you, stuck right there. Trying to get out of bed, but I was stuck right there, because this one I celebrate 19 years of freedom.
Amen. Congratulations. Oh, my God.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow. So you're going to be able to share some things when I get into this topic this morning. God is awesome. And he ties us all in. 19 years. Wow. That's beautiful. Congratulations. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do my part, and then I'm going to come back and get you and Cynthia, and then we're going to share what the Lord has placed on our heart with mothers and
Amen.
Daughters around the world.
Okay.
All right, mothers and daughters. I tell you, it's an interesting show. You need to call somebody and tell them to dial 347-539-5078, or they can go on Blog Talk Radio, click on the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. You'll see the on button, and we have a button on there that says on air, and we are on the air. We are live here every Saturday morning, live. It's not pre-taped where we can change and edit. What you hear is what we say, and hopefully we try to mind what we say because we are live, and we can't take it back once the words are gone. So we try to speak in the word, way of the Lord. So tell somebody to join us and listen. You never know what they will hear that will be beneficial to them. Let's go over here to, go to my area and so that I can get to the script here, basically, so you can keep me on track because, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I get to talk and sometimes. But on Saturday mornings, basically, you know, I just yield to the Holy Spirit. And the one thing I just did and did not, oh, my God, let me go back. Don't miss the most important thing. Please bear with me. The switchboard is still doing its thing, but we're going on. I want to ask. I forgot to ask for the prayer. Let's make sure that we get that going. Just a moment. Whew. Cynthia, would you do the prayer for us, please? I don't know if she can hear me or not. Guess we have to do our thing here and go to the to my phone. Can you hear me, Cynthia? One second. Let me do it. This is an exciting show today, and I don't even get excited anymore. Whenever I know God's got a message that's powerful and is touching masses of people, then the enemy wants to get busy. But there's more than one way to do this, and God showed it to me last week. Just go right to your phone. Thank God for technology. Okay, now let's see where we are right here. Okay, Cynthia, can you hear me? I have Deborah.
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello? Okay, yes, well then, Deborah, you're the one popped up. So would you mind giving us the prayer this morning?
Not at all. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for all our able limbs and our senses and our functions that's functioning accordingly. We thank you. We ask you to do all that you plan to do through us, for us, and to the people that's listening. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would take any hindrance, any obstacles that would be in the way of your word. We ask you to do what you do best is to save, deliver, and set free your people. We love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Have your way. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll do this from the phone. I'll be right back. There, as my mother said, there's more than one way to skin a cat. So we just make sure that we do it in another way. Again, good morning. I'm your host. I am Dr. Bessie here at the round table with my co-host Cynthia Oliver sitting at the, as our guest co-host is Deborah. She comes in, she adds value to what we're doing. Frida's off today, and I just want to thank you for joining us. It is absolutely wonderful. You all make our morning. On Saturday mornings when we come sitting at the table just listening to our hearts and what God has placed in our hearts to share. To say thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, thank you, Cynthia. She says she hear me just fine, so that's sort of like a it back up to what we're doing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just want to say to you this morning that we are following the book that God has placed on my heart to write down for him. It's Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. And we are going through topic by topic and just allowing the Holy Spirit to say what he wants to say through us. Again, I'm Dr. Bessie. I'm your host here at the Roundtable with Mothers and Daughters around the world. Last week, our stimulating topic was we talked about, I want to make sure I get that right, the pleasure, God's pleasure for mother and daughter, God's pleasure. And this week, our stimulating topic is mothers and daughters, guess what? Your body. That's not in the topic. I'm just saying that. Mothers and daughters, your body is not your own. Your body is not your own. Now, this is so interesting. Even when God gave me this concept when I was writing, it brought revelation to me because I don't think that most people think from that perspective. I know most people don't think from that perspective. You think it's your body. Most people, this is my thing. I can do what I want to do with it. What's that say? It's your thing. You can do what you want to do. And I can't tell you who to sock it to. Well, guess what? We got some news for you this morning. It is not your thing, and you can't do what you want to do, not for long, and think you can get by with it. Because it's not your body. Mothers and daughters, your body is not your own. Last week we talked about God's good pleasures for mothers and daughters. And with that good pleasure, you know, he created you for his good pleasure. He created you to sit back. And when he said on the sixth day, it is done, and the seventh day I'm going to rest, and he looked out over the garden, and he just saw all the great things that he created, and then he had man and looked at him, and he says, wow, this is good. Look at him. I got somebody who can go through and attend to the herbs and the mist in the gardens, and can you just imagine seeing it all greenery and the lions and the tigers and the bears and everybody playing together and wrestling and just laughing and having a good time, nice fruit everywhere, grapes as big as what? They said so heavy that you take 2 men to take just a little bunch of grapes. I mean, just everything overflowing, just beautiful. The sun's out. The colors are bright. Everybody's happy, but Adam is sad. There's a sadness about him. And God felt it in his heart. And he said, Adam, what's wrong? And Adam says, I'm lonely. What did he know about being lonely? I imagine in my mind that his assessment of lonely is when he saw there were two of each animal. There was 2 monkeys, 2 lions, 2 bears, 2 of everything. There was a female and a male, but then yet there's just me. And he's looking at them interacting and saying, well, what about me? Just from my imagination. And God felt that. I did create it, a male and a female. He's seeing that. So as Adam felt in his heart, God felt the same thing in his heart because we're made in his image. He says, oh, let me make you a mate. And that fulfilled what that loneliness that Adam had. That's why sometimes mothers and daughters, we feel that we have to have a male because we like that connection. We were designed to be connected to a male part. And when it's not there, sometimes we seek it from all the wrong places. And it's still not fulfilling because it is not the one that was created for you. I remember I was talking to a lady just last week and I said, you know, when women date younger men, and don't go getting all excited when I say that, because, I mean, you have the choice to do whatever you want to do. But the one thing that you know, if you date a man that's younger than you, it is not God ordained. And you say, how do I know that? Because he said, I took the rib out of a man and put inside of you. So you can't be on this earth before he takes the rib out. So the person that he took the rib out of had to be a man that's older than you. He had to have been on the earth older than, longer than you, but they ain't not for 1 second. He has to be here first. So if the man is not older than you, just think about it. You might want to think about it. This is not the one God chose for me, but this is one I chose for myself. And you can do that. Just an insight. And we were discussing later, but you know what, Dr. Fletcher, I never thought about that. I said, I didn't either until God showed me because, I'm looking, I'm thinking, basically, a lot of times younger men, you know, they'll try to approach me, and I'm like, I'm old enough to be your mama, and they don't want to buy that. They're like, please, what's the number got to do with it? I'm like, nah. But then the Lord showed me, he said, how can that be a person for you when you're older than them? And then he just actually showed it to me, and then it made good sense. I mean, it adds up to the Word of God. It aligns itself with the Word of God. You can't get a rib out of something that's not here, a person that's not born yet. So that's not our show this morning. I'm not going to take a take on that. That's bringing us to what we're talking about, mothers and daughters. Your body is not your own. And so when we're talking about your body's not your own, we are in the book, Good News, God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters, and you can go to our website on mdbn.org. That's M as in mother, D as in daughter, B as in body, N as in network.org, and purchase the book. And you can follow us. Today we're on page, I think it's 57, yes, page 57, Your Body is Not Your Own, and that's chapter 5. Now, when you say your body is not your own, a lot of times this is an interesting chapter. Like I say, it gave me revelation. And as I was writing, I was like, wow. And God gave me the concept. He said, my children think that once they have a child, they are used to bring the child into the world. They assume that that child belongs to them. They assume that they can raise that child any way they want to. They're not thinking, that's not your child. You didn't create that child. I created you for my good pleasure. What is one of my pleasure? Reproduction. What is one of my pleasure? To see all of my children happy and having a good time and enjoying life the way that I design it. How can you do that? It took him suiting up, coming in the body of Christ to take back what Satan stole from him. See, Satan stole pleasure from God. When he stole Adam and Eve, he stole pleasure from God. It was his creation, his pleasure. And he tried many ways to get that pleasure back. He used prophets. He used different people that, came, he would give them the wisdom, Moses, Elijah. Everybody had a word. But nobody was strong enough to follow through. And I imagine in my mind God saying, you know what? I've got to do this. If it's going to get done, I've got to do it. Let me suit up. I'm going to pick someone. He had Mary born just for that time. He prepared her just for that time. She wasn't just selected just on GP. She was sent here through her mother as the woman that he chose to be the person that would birth Jesus. And he came to take back what Satan took from him. And although Satan was given the earth to reign and rule in, he said to his children, all that would believe on Christ, all that would take my word through this man, this body, and believe what I said, and accept total salvation, you exempt from any curse, any law on the earth. You are above anything. Satan is under your feet. He's not walking beside you. He's not anywhere close to you. He is under your feet. If you believe that, that all that I've said is yours. All that I've said is yours. You can have all of my kingdom, all of my pleasures you will enjoy. But in order to do that, there's a couple things you need to know. One, that your body is not your own. Two, that you've got to accept Jesus Christ, the word that Jesus brought. That's why they said Jesus is the word, because he brought the word of God. If you don't believe that Jesus was the sign to bring the word of God, then you won't receive salvation. Salvation comes in a package, and the package is in the word. And the word says what? He gave it to you. 1 John 2, beloved, above all things, I wish you prosperity. He said prosperity first before health. I wish you prosperity. And why I believe he said prosperity first was because you can make prosperity what you want it to be. I gave you a talent. You can turn it. You can sit on it. You can give it away. It's up to you. That's your gift. Use it, or you can lose it. I wish you health, meaning that Jesus Christ had died on the cross, took the stripes, so you have the health, even as your soul prospers, and your soul is your mind. Are you going to sit, not read a book? Are you not going to get into the word of God? How are you going to use your mind? Are you going to let that mind just rest and rotten and do nothing? Are you going to keep studying? You're going to keep expanding? You're going to look at the word of God, keep getting revelations, and your soul is prospering. And then it comes to your body. Your body is not your own. And as again, like I said, when I was writing, the Lord brought me this situation, and it's about the car dealer. And you look at a car manufacturer, and I thought about the dealerships up in General Motors up in Detroit. And they are manufacturing cars every day, thousands and thousands of cars being going through that production line. And they put those cars, when they finish, into a nice gated protected area. But yet someone comes along and says, you know what, I am so tired of walking. Everywhere I go, I got to walk. My feet are tired. My legs are wearing out. And he looks and he saw just all those cars for miles. He said, they won't miss it. They won't miss that one car, and I need a car. So he proceeds to go and take a car off of that lot. Out of the thousands of cars, he's thinking, they won't miss it. I need it. I'm in need of it. And he takes the car, and he drives the car. Inventory comes around, and they discover that a car is missing. I said, what happened to the car? I don't know. The car is gone. I said, well, okay, then track it. Find the car. So the man is driving the car and he's using it to his good pleasure. He parks the car into the garage to make sure, you know, all his friends then congratulated him. Man, how did you get that Cadillac? Man, that's a nice Cadillac. He didn't pick any car. He picked the best that was in the lot. And he said, that is a nice car, man. You must have hit the lottery. Nah, he comes up with your story. I had an inheritance. My aunt left me some money, and really, I went just bought this car because I needed the car. Man, I'll be happy for you. But then one day, someone came. Police came and knocked on the door. Sir, we're just checking because this particular day, he left the car on the outside. We're just checking to see who owns this car. And he says, it's my car. And they asked him the question, when did he buy it? How much did he pay for it? In his mind, he's thinking, how did they know the car was here? How did they find this car? See, he didn't create the car, and the car was not his. He didn't buy the car. from someone that created the car, so the car was not his. But whenever someone creates something, they put their mark on it. If a painter is painting a picture, they put their signature on it. If a designer is making clothes, they put their name in the label. So you'll know who was the creator. Well, the same thing with that car. General Motors put a VIN number, stamped it on the inside of that car. That car VIN number identifies that General Motors is the owner. And then they added a tracking system. And that tracking system will tell them the location of that car. So they found the car, and the guy was amazed. Well, I said all of that to say this. The body that you're walking around in, you didn't create that body. That's not your body. You're not the owner of that body. God created that body. See, look at if you're the owner of a house versus being someone who rent a house or an apartment. If you're the owner of it, you don't owe anybody anything on it. Nobody can come and tell you to move out because you're the owner. Nobody can take it away from you because you're the owner. But if you're renting and you don't pay your rent, then it's a lease landlord situation and you can be evicted. So now look at your body. Your body was created by God. God owns your body. You don't own it. That's why it's not your thing to do whatever you want to do with it. But God is so gracious, he leased the body to the spirit so that it could carry the spirit around. But if you abuse the body and use it as if it's your own, you can be evicted. The spirit will be evicted, recalled to come home, and the body will be left alone, buried in the ground. So that's the topic this morning. Mothers and daughters, your body is not your own. You didn't create it. You have no control over it. You can't heal it if it's sick. You can't prepare it if you cut your arm. It's all built in. When you came with a stamp inside of you. No one can claim you. No one can evict you but the owner. So if you're not going to take care of it, you can lose it. That's why you can't do anything and everything with the body that you carry the spirit around in. That's why they call it the temple, because the temple is supposed to be a place of holiness. And if you're running around doing ungodly things, which we all have done at one point in time, very few can say they have never done anything wrong. Because anything you've done wrong, even a thought, it still affects the body. And that's why we have Jesus, to give forgiveness and to cleanse the body and to be reborn again with a refreshed and renewed body. And we promise God we're going to do better. We're not going to do the same things we used to do. I mean that we're going to treat this body as the temple. We're going to act like we know that we are carrying you around. And that seed that you plant in us, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that seed become alive, it starts growing, even as we are prospering, because you're not where you were before. You got more today than you had last year in every capacity. Your health, you call upon the name of Jesus, he heals us every time. Yeah, we might have to walk through the valley for a moment, because what? Somewhere along the line, it's not Jesus' fault. I wonder who else can we blame? Think about it. Did we do all we needed to do with the body? Did we have ourselves checking plenty of time? Did we do whatever we need to do? Did we cut back on the food? Did we stop the drinking, stop the smoking, stop the cursing, stop the negative thinking, the negative conversations in our head? All of that add to deterioration of the body. Your body is not your own. So, are you using God's body for His pleasure? Or are you using God's body for your pleasure? Think about it. Because you know what God is about. And God has a GPS built right into you. GPS. And I'm not going to talk about that today because that's further up in the book, and I don't want to go up and come back down. You got to me about that. So have you, if you're not using your body for God's pleasure, then think about it. You're committing identity theft. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what I say. You are committing identity theft. You are pretending to be something that you are not. You are pretending to be something to people that you're not. You were created as a child of God to live according to the word. If you're doing anything other than that, it's identity theft. You've stolen the identity of someone else. I tell people, when you try to impress someone because you know this person, know that person, oh, yeah, I know so-and-so, yeah, and you want them to get excited because you know them, and you feel like if they know that you know them, they're going to think you're a better person. They're going to like you because you know that them that know them that know them. Don't mean a hill of beans. Identity theft. You can't steal somebody else's identity. You have your own. So if you don't own something, you can't control it. You can be evicted. That's the big hello. Don't own your body. God is leasing it to you. Just remember that. And when you go to 1 Corinthians 12:12, and it's on page, I think it's 59 of the book. It talks about the body of Christ. It's the body of Christ. You are part of a total body. You're not separate of your own. And if you're not operating as the total part of the body of Christ, then everything else, something is going to go wrong. You offbeat. You ever seen someone, the music is going well, and everybody's in one rhythm, moving in the same direction? The thing that people like to do is wave their hands in the air and act like they just don't care, and, you know, they're going back and forth, but, you know, you can do that when you're out there jamming for Satan. You wouldn't miss a beat for nothing. Get in church, you're just all over the place. Have no rhythm. And that's what happens when you're in the body of Christ. When you're doing your own thing, you're going against the rhythm of the body of Christ. You're going against the word. And that can only last for so long. How long do you think God is going to allow you to keep going against the rhythm and not get it together? How long? Not long. Not long. So, what I say to you is this, mothers and daughters, don't be a member of Satan's team. Don't be a member of Satan's team. You can't be a member of his body because you're in the body of Christ. And the only person who can release you out of the body of Christ is God himself. But don't be a member. Don't participate with Satan's team. Stop stealing the body of Christ to help promote Satan's agenda. And that's what we do when we step outside of what God has said for us and don't believe that he sent Jesus to save us all. Everybody is saved. It's up to you to accept the salvation, to believe the word. Okay, now I'm going to go to the switchboard. And I'm going to bring in Cynthia. Let's see where we are here. Good morning, Cynthia. How are you?
Good morning. How
Again.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the body of Christ.
Well, it's an interesting conversation because that's what Daddy had me pretty much talking about 3 o'clock this morning.
Because I knew you were going to say that.
Daddy is quite interesting. Took me through when he sent Gabriel to tell Mary that she had been chosen.
I didn't even know you had that this morning. Isn't that something?
Come on now. That's the Holy Spirit, babe. Our problem is, Dr. Fletcher, according to what God gave me this morning, we don't believe that our body belongs to him. He said he sent the same angel to Mary to let her know that she had been favored to carry Jesus and bring Jesus into the world. The same angel, Gabriel, he sent to Zechariah's Elizabeth. Wife, husband, to tell him that he would, because obviously in the Bible, if we want to do a little quick study, he told Zechariah, I've heard your Gabriel told Zechariah, God has heard your prayer. So obviously, Zechariah had been talking to God about a son because they didn't have any children, but when Gabriel showed up in the temple, Zechariah didn't believe him. And so he said, how can this be? And so because Zechariah didn't believe him, God muted him until the baby was born. So the problem comes in with this body that we have. We don't believe that it belongs to God. And so God put a curse on Zechariah until the baby was born. But in Mary's case, when Gabriel came to Mary, Mary said, and I'm going to tell you exactly what she said because I wrote it down. I was so amazed. Daddy is so amazing. He just blows my mind. Mary said to him, may it happen just the way you said it would happen. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. And then the angel left. So now we have two people. The same angel talked to both. Zechariah didn't believe it. Mary said, may it all happen because God has said it. So our issue with this body that God has given us, we don't believe that it belongs to the Heavenly Father. So therefore, we can all willy-willy do whatever we want to do, so we think. So that's where the issue comes in, because we don't believe that our body belongs to him. And then it took me to another thing while you were talking and said that think about how Mary was so responsible with Jesus as she carried him. She never even consummated her marriage with Joseph until Christ was born.
Mm-hmm. Because it was holy ground.
Because it was holy ground.
That's right.
So,
that would have destroyed the whole thing. Touch or not. Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, the problem comes, mothers, daughters, the problem comes when we don't believe that we belong to our Heavenly Father and that our body don't belong to him. And that's why we can do the things we do in the absence of belief. And destroying what God has created in us to be holy. Wow. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Woo. Because see, it goes back to that same thing. If you know better, you do better.
Come on now.
Most people don't know better because nobody's teaching them. This what we're teaching this morning is something that needs to go through the whole world. Because when people know, when they hear this, I'm telling you, you can't do the same thing knowing that you know already. That's why, oh, my God. That's why God got us doing this. That's why he got us doing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's all
to wake
about
people
belief.
Up.
When you don't believe
yeah.
that you belong to him, you will do anything.
Mm-hmm.
With what
and you know,
he
the
has
most,
given.
And the most amazing thing, Cynthia, and I'm going to bring Deborah in. Deborah, I'm going to make you live here, too. Okay, Deborah, you're live. The most amazing thing is that people think that they can do things and God don't see them. Once you get that reality, that checked me. I don't know what world I was living in. But one day God said, don't you know I see everything that you do? Don't you know you're like a fish in a clear glass bowl floating around? Don't you know I'm sitting high? I can see everything that you do. I'm telling you, you get that kind of revelation. If you do anything that you know that's wrong and going against the will of God, now you working for the rapture. You working to be punished. I'm one of those children that once he tell me, I got it. Lord, you don't have to tell me that again. Deborah, you can jump in anytime you want.
I thank God because I remember just yesterday I was talking to my boss, telling her about when my nephew came to visit me. He said, Auntie, you go to church every Sunday? I said, yeah, I go every Sunday. I said, and I'm going to be honest with you because that's probably twice a year I have a talk with God and tell God, God, now I know that you know that I'm not sick. I can't lie and tell you that I'm sick. I just don't feel in my body to get up and go today. And so if I don't go to church, I won't go nowhere. So what I'm saying is I know that God knows everything and I belong to God. And I have to give account to everything that I think that I'm doing that I'm getting away with because he sees it. And even when I was committing sexual sin against my body, I was feeling some type of way, being convicted even in the midst of doing it because I know that mm-hmm. that was not my body to be doing stuff that wasn't pleasing to someone in his sight, even though man may not know, but God knew. And I'm all conscious of, Lord, fix what you know is broken with me because this is the temple of God. And there's certain things that I shall not do because I say that I'm a follower of Christ and I'm a believer that I trust that you to be my Savior and lead me. So fix what's broken in me and do what I need to do in my body, not just when man is looking, but when you look at which is all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so mm-hmm. I know this is the body, the temple of God. When I was putting drugs mm-hmm. and substance in my body, I was destroying the temple. I was bringing on sickness and illness, things that I wouldn't have had I not been out there putting stuff in my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just so awesome how you just broke it down. You know, it's just so awesome. You know, I always tell people, even with the school thing, I said I made God a vow to do this thing with integrity, meaning doing what's right when nobody is looking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And God is always knowing, always present, everywhere at the same time. And how I'm a be slick, outsmart the one that made me to know the hell's on my head before I could even lose two or three. He even knows the thoughts before I have them. How am I outsmart? I'll just be honest, Lord, I have an issue here. I'm struggling. I can't lie to you. How am I lie to you?
Right, right, right.
You know me. You know me, God.
Mm.
And I just want to leave it right there. You know me, God.
Help
well, you know, last God. Night I was talking to a friend of ours, and, oh, Lord. We went on and on and on for hours. But I was telling her that I used to, you know, we're talking about God seeing us. That's one thing. But the other thing that I was doing that I didn't know I was doing it fully, but I kind of knew I was doing it because it didn't feel quite right, you know, when you're saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, God, I said, if you give me the money that I need to do so and so and so, I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to feed this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the other. But saying that for years, God, if you give me the money, God, if you get me the RV, I'm going to take the RV and I'm going to go around and I'm going to preach the gospel and da 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 da. And one day, this was, gosh, I know it's been about a year ago. God got tired of me doing that. And he said, why don't you stop it? Just like that. And I'm like, stop it. He said, don't try to tell me if I give you an RV what you're going to do with it when you know you want the RV for yourself. Just say you want the RV for yourself. I was like, yeah, I do. I want the RV for myself. He said, now, but you can take the RV and help people, but don't try to bargain with me. Because, see, you bargain with me, and you're not being truthful. You have the selfish motive that you want the RV for your pleasure. Tell me you want the RV for your pleasure. If you help somebody, good. If you don't, still good. I'll give you the RV because you're honest and you want it for your pleasure. See, and that goes right back to doing things. I don't know if Cynthia's still here. Cynthia there? That goes back.
I'm here.
To doing things and acting like God can't see us. And so then he went further and said to me, and stop telling me about you'll feed this one, you'll cold this one, you'll do that. He said, I don't need you to feed anybody. I don't need you to clothe anybody. I don't need you to house anybody. I don't need you to do anything for anybody. That's not my purpose of creating you. That was my purpose of creating Jesus Christ. He has done that job. He has prepared everything that man needs. They don't come through you to get their food. They come through Jesus. Everything they need is in that one package, salvation, if they believe it. Now, what I give you, if you decide you want to share it with somebody, you feed the children, you touch my heart. That's why I say, what you do to the least of them, you do unto me. But don't tell me that you're doing it. If I give you this, you'll do that. You bargaining with me. Stop bargaining with me, because you can't bargain what Jesus has already done. I sent you here, Bessie, for one reason and one reason only, to share the good news. That's when this book was being written, to share the good news. All I want you to do is when you see people, ask them, have you ever heard about Jesus Christ? If they say no, let me give you some good news. This is what Jesus has done for me. And if you accept Jesus Christ, you know, these are the things that God promised. Just let them know in a nice, light, airy, fun way. You don't have to preach down to them. You don't have to do things to convince them. You don't have to scare them into salvation. Just give them the good news. Once you give them the good news, I know that they know. That's the only reason I sent you, to go around the world, share the good news. Now they can't say that they didn't know, because I know you came across their path. You made them aware of Christ. It's up to them to decide if they want it. That's all we're here for. So mothers and daughters, there's nothing else you can do but accept Jesus Christ and share what he has done in your life. Today is 19 years for you, Deborah. You can share how the goodness of God, that's the good news. That's all God wants you to say. You know, I was in prison for 19 years, and today I'm free 19 years, and look where God brought me from. That's the testimony. Look how good God is. God's praises of Jesus Christ is all we're here to do. Don't worry about trying to feed somebody. Don't worry about trying to pimp God. And don't worry about trying to bargain with him. If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. You don't need us to do anything but talk about Jesus, because you can't get to him except through Jesus. So I'm just sharing that with our bodies, our minds, and our spirit. None belong to us. We just long for the ride. Anybody else got a comment?
Like, allow me, can I interject?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, what you just said, what just came to my spirit when you said that is that we've all been given a task. Jesus Christ's task was to save the world. Your task mm-hmm. is to bring the good news. Mm-hmm. He has called me to teach the mm-hmm. word,
the subject that he's given me to teach, which is psychology, and I always bring in theology when I teach psychology. So we were all created to do a task for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has his people to feed the world. you understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just amazing that Mary's task was to birth Christ Jesus. And then he allows us to, gives us the freedom to do other things to enjoy this world. And that's in scripture as well. God is amazing when he says, he is just amazing in his word, where even with Elizabeth, when she gave birth, he said that that child will bring her honor. And so when we have delivered the task, when we are created and we accept the call that God has on our lives, that's our task. He got everybody to do what they were created to do. So we don't have to bargain with God that we'll do a certain thing, because like you said, it's already done. Because he's already assigned the people to do those things. I just love this conversation this morning, because it just takes us to the very heart of God. He's so clear in what it is that he wants us to do, and he tells us what we're here to do. He sent his angels to talk to us, talking to a mother in class this week, not knowing that she we had so much in common when her unfortunately, or fortunately, however way you want to look at it, her son died to the same type of cancer that God spared my child. So she had a task, and God allowed her to bring, he was only 13 when he passed away. And she has a task now to, and she has to go to God for herself to determine, God, and I told her this week, go to the Father, ask him what he would have you to do with that your child's memory, because he has a task for you to do. He didn't bring your only child into the world just to take him from you and for his death just to be a sadness for you. That's some good news. You gotta ask the Heavenly Father what it's all about, and what will he have you do from this point? Because we all have a task with what he allows us to experience. And in that task, you can bring people to God. Because we have all had experience. I'm sorry.
No. I said, I'm listening.
Okay. So, yeah, and I'm going to leave it right there. We all have a task, and our body is the thing that we're going to get it done here on earth.
The body is the one
that's
going
to work
the task.
Thank you for allowing me to share.
You are so welcome. We have not 30 seconds right now, but I want to get this in, Deborah. And what has happened is when you said to feed, he gave us all something to feed, and God said what people are getting mixed up is that when they say feed the children, they're thinking about food, physical food. And he said, what they're not realizing, to feed them with my word, and they'll never hunger again. When you were talking, that's exactly what it said. We're here to feed everybody with the word of God, and they'll never hunger again. I said, Lord, right in the midst when you were talking about feeding. That's what they, and most people do think about food. They said, God said, feed the children. No, feed the children with the word of God, they'll never hunger. They will always know where to go. Good God Almighty. All right. I'll tell you that. Ooh, wow. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I'll be right back. That's good.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Okay, that's our show. Deborah, thank you so very much.
again, congratulations on 19 years of freedom, being out of prison. Girl, the story is there to be told. Start writing so we can publish that book. Cynthia, thank you. And I'll see you for dinner, Cynthia. God bless you.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. and tell McConnell Potter I'm on the way.
Absolutely.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Now we got to get together this week. Okay, then. Bye-bye. God bless you guys.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.